Hello, thank you for listening to this edition of Crossroads, the Infrastructure Podcast. I'm here with Ram Orenstein, who earlier this year became Managing Director of the Ascend Energy Exchange, or AEX, the M&A advisory wing of Ascend Analytics. Ram, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be here on Ofrio.
Much appreciated. So congratulations on this new role. And, you know, we're looking forward to you coming over to the U.S. and getting involved into the market here. Let's start by talking about Ascend and the AEX platform. Can you briefly describe each and how they're different from one another?
Sure, absolutely. Ascend Analytics has been around since 2002 and is the leading provider of market intelligence and analytics solutions for the energy transition. We enable decision makers in power supply, procurement, investment markets to plan, operate, monetize, and manage risk for renewable energy and storage assets. From real-time operations to 30-year forecasts, we bring forecasts and insights that are the foundations of over $50 billion of project financing assessments. AEX is, or the Ascend Energy Exchange, is our M&A advisory service that utilizes an exchange platform. And it is unique in our view in the renewable and storage transaction space because it is part of the Ascend ecosystem of advanced software and consulting. And therefore, it draws on our market expertise, our trusted valuations and neutrality, as well as our extensive energy community network, to bring a streamlined asset sale process that serves both buyers and sellers.
Let's talk about AEX and what you're focused on in the near term. You know, keeping in mind that you've said it's strictly storage that you're working on now, what types of opportunities is AEX interested in? Asset sales, platforms? Can you give us an idea of typical deal size? What types of transactions should we expect to see you involved in?
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, we focus on the AEX side on battery storage assets, both standalone, as well as assets that are hybrid or coupled with renewables. And the reason we focus on that segment is both because we think it's already large and it's growing, and also because Ascend brings so much value, specifically when you talk about storage, because we bring market expertise. We bring our ability to do asset valuations, and we offer the potential buyers the ability to bundle, if they choose so, the asset that they will procure with offtake contracts to mitigate merchant risk, which is a very unique value proposition. In terms of the types of deals we focus on, yes, it's assets as opposed to platforms, and it spans from we have helped sellers of smaller portfolios of as small as, say, 20 megawatts of kind of distribution connected assets, all the way to large portfolios of like a gigawatt of transmission connected assets, like a portfolio we're taking to market right now of transmission connected battery energy storage projects in ERCOT for Belltown, one of our customers.
I think some of our listeners may be wondering why storage in particular. I know that Ascend, as a greater firm, works with developers in all kinds of renewables and energy transition projects. So what is it about storage that is particularly opportunistic as opposed to maybe solar or some other renewable vertical?
Again, Ascend as a company is an expert on anything that has to do with the energy transition. And we absolutely help investors in any investment decision and portfolio management surrounding energy and energy transition, including traditional, conventional generation, as well as renewable energy. Specifically at the Ascend Energy Exchange, which is fairly nascent at Ascend, in order to be focused, we decided to start by focusing, as I said, on energy storage, either standalone or coupled with renewables, because it's such a great resource, but also brings complexity, not only in project development, but also, as you probably know, storage projects very often come with some merchant risk, meaning whoever is going to buy a storage project is going to own and operate it in an environment where it's not fully contracted with an investment grade buyer for the long run, but it's actually either fully merchant or partially merchant with exposure to the markets, be that CAISO in California, ERCOT in Texas, or other markets. And that's where Ascent can really shine, because we can educate buyers on all the complexities and the risk, both on the development side of the project, but also on the revenue side, and make sure that the buyers are fully aware of both the risks, but the rewards and the risk, and also offer buyers a bundle of complementary products that Ascent offers, like our Smart Bidder tool, which is an automatic dispatch software for energy storage that maximizes revenues, as well as our another product called Insurance, which is a revenue put product that is a form of an offtake agreement that reduces some of the merchant risk and allows the buyer, the owner, to increase its debt. So this is all unique to storage and allows Ascent to bring additional value.
Do you see yourself as filling a gap in the M&A market, maybe providing more traditional advisory services to developers that may not otherwise be at a point in their life cycle to need or even be able to afford those types of services?
Yes, I think so. And that's also in line with the feedback we are receiving that selling an energy storage project is different than selling, let's say, a fully contracted solar PV asset with a long-term power purchase agreement that some buyers might compare to like a real estate investment. Energy storage is much more complicated. It's got more nuances. And I think the traditional M&A advisors, that's not their expertise. We are subject matter experts in energy storage. We understand the markets. We build nodal forecasts for every specific node, so we can vet and screen and select only the assets that we think are better than average and have a higher likelihood to be attractive to buyers. And then we can also help the buyers understand the unique value of that asset, as well as how to mitigate the inherent risk. And I think these are all services and attributes that are different from what a traditional advisor does.
Let's change track a little bit. You're relocating to the U.S. I know that you lived here for a decade in the past. Could you tell me what is different about coming to this market this time around, if anything? Do you have apprehensions about working on renewable energy in the U.S.? How are you managing the move and the expectations going forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yeah, correct. I have been participating in the U.S. renewable energy and energy storage industry for over 15 years. I spent most of that time in leadership positions at a company called Ormat Technologies, that's a publicly traded global company that is a renewable energy developer and an independent power producer that's based in Reno, Nevada. And that's where I lived. I was later on the CEO of a smaller developer and IPP called Sunflower Sustainable Investments that owns renewable energy and energy storage projects in Europe and the US. This time around, I'm excited to be leading AEX out of Ascent and to be moving again to the US, because the renewable energy and the energy storage market in the US continues to grow. And I think that it will continue this way for years to come. We're still the beginning, I think, of the energy transition. And as you probably know, it's hard not to notice the market share of international energy companies in the U.S. renewable energy space, global companies that come from Europe, the Middle East, Asia, Latin America. And I think the reason they come is because, A, the U.S. market is so big and it's still growing. B, there's all these supportive policies. When I started 15 years ago, it was mostly the renewable portfolio standards at state level that was incentivizing renewables. Then came the stimulus package with the loan guarantee and the production tax credit and the investment tax credit. In the last couple of years, of course, it's the Inflation Reduction Act. So while the policies change, I think the trend is very clear. And I think it's a privilege to be part of that transition.
You know, one of the first stories I ever wrote in this role was about foreign investment in U.S. renewables and all the firms that were coming into the market. I think you're uniquely positioned to comment on that, given what you just said. Do you think that we've seen peak inflow of foreign firms? I'm not saying dollar amounts or anything like that or actual size of investment, but just the number of firms. Like, is everyone who's interested in being in U.S. renewables here? Or do you expect to see more firms and investors coming into the space that are not yet active in North America?
Wow, that is a great question, somewhat philosophical. I think the trend of foreign companies entering the U.S., you know, it was clear to me when I was part of that 15 years ago, and it seems like it's not slowing down. The IRA, I think, definitely provided an extra boost of additional players. I don't see a reason right now to think that it peaked. I think what we have seen over the last decade or two is many cases of companies that started in their local market, and then that's smaller than the US by definition. And then once it exhausted that market and they want to grow and expand, they move to the US. So I think this trend is here to stay. But as so many things in our industry, there is some cyclicality, right? Just like in what I do now, which is the M&A space, we have seen some cooling off over the last year, driven by higher interest rates that make the cost of capital for buyers higher, as well as some extra challenges for developers, the sellers, be that on supply chain or interconnection challenges. So there will be ups and downs, but I think the trend is steady and is clear.
Yeah, that's a great segue into my next question about your outlook on deal flow in the U.S. storage market, and let's call it the next 12 months. Do you expect it? Like, are we in an up moment? Are we in a down moment? Where are we heading? I'm not expecting you to be a fortune teller or to predict the future, but what do you anticipate the next calendar year is going to look like?
So like I said, we are currently in somewhat of a down market, even though there's still a lot of activity, and we at the AEX side are still very active with multiple sellers and buyers. And I know other M&A shops are too. I think over the next 12 months, we will continue to see the phenomenon of oversupply. I think generally speaking, there is massive oversupply of projects in all regions. Like if you add up all the renewable energy and energy storage projects in the different interconnection queues across the country, it adds up to, you know, numbers that it's clear mathematically that only 10 or 20% will actually get built, 80 or 90% will not. And I think this will create an opportunity for savvy buyers to pick kind of the wheat from the chaff, and also an opportunity for an M&A advisory shop like AEX to help buyers or sellers, because we take all the tool that Ascend has to try and vet and pre-qualify assets that we think are unique, and then take them to market and leverage the network of relationships we have with buyers and sellers to maximize the likelihood of success. So to answer your question, I think we'll continue to see this oversupply. We at AEX expect to be more diverse in the portfolios and assets that we market. Historically, most of the assets we have helped sellers sell have been in ERCOT, with one portfolio in CAISO. I think going forward, we'll probably in the next 12 to 15 months see more of that trend of us working with sellers and buyers in more markets. We also expect to continue to be active both in like large transmission connected assets as well as more distributed generation. But other than that, I think, yeah, because energy storage is still on a growth trend, we expect to continue to be very busy in multiple markets.
10 or 20%, that's you know, if I'm reading what you're saying right, if I'm a buyer of projects and 10 opportunities come across my desk, that means potentially only one or two are worth investing in. And you talked about how Ascend vets those projects. I don't expect you to give away your secret sauce, but I am wondering if you can comment on what you look for in a good project, or perhaps rather what indicates a bad project. Perhaps you could give some examples of things you've seen without naming names that, you know, indicate, well, this is not a good opportunity. For someone who's not quite as involved in the storage market as you, what are those giveaways when you're being presented with opportunities yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's true that we don't have the crystal ball and we can't tell with certainty which projects are going to be winners and which are going to be losers. But we do have a set of tools that we use to the benefit of the sellers and the buyers. And that includes, first, we look at the market. Like some markets we think are ripe now for energy storage, where energy storage is in the market. Texas, for example, right now, we think it's hard to go wrong because the fundamentals of load growth and the growth in renewables that's driving the need for storage is there. So we look at the market outlook. Then we look at the specific node, which is Ascend's expertise. So when we look at assets, we look at the specific revenue potential at that specific node of the project. We then build financial models, the type that we know savvy buyers would do. And again, I have the benefit of, I used to be a buyer for many years and I did diligence on numerous assets and portfolios. Some we bought, some we did not. So I have the buyer mindset. And so we take all the revenue potential, we put our best assumptions on the cost of the CapEx, the capital cost of the project, as well as the operating costs. And we see what kind of returns we get. And we think we know pretty good the type of return that buyers are looking for. So right there, a lot of the assets we look at kind of won't cross the threshold. On top of that, we layer in our experience and my personal experience with development. Again, I used to run teams that did everything from real estate, interconnection and transmission, environmental permitting, and revenue contract. So we do some basic diligence on the projects and we interview the developer, so to speak, to make sure that they didn't overlook any fatal flaw. And last, we are in constant contact with a large pool of buyers. Many of them are Ascend customers for other product that Ascend has to offer, like valuations and project finance and market intelligence. So through our constant communication relationship with them, we think we have a pretty good understanding on what are buyers looking for right now. And when we see a portfolio that checks all the boxes that I just mentioned, for example, that Belltown portfolio that we're taking to market right now, that's when we think this is a portfolio that's have a high likelihood of getting built and of being attractive to buyers.
For frame of reference for the listener, you've been with AEX now for just over half a year, I believe, and the platform itself is about 2 years old. So given that, you know, you're a relatively young firm, how have you been received so far? Could you talk about the transactions you've worked on to date, some of the learning curves you found yourself dealing with? And, you know, I'd invite you to talk about the deals that you've closed so far and what you felt was notable about those.
Yes, happy to do that. So you're right. This is a fairly nascent activity and we're a small team at Ascend. So we focus much more on quality and cherry picking the assets and portfolio that we take to market versus the volumes. So from that perspective, we're not a marketplace where any seller can post and any buyer or would-be buyer can browse. It's much more of a curated exercise where we're trying to be very selective. And as such, we helped a handful of developers, names including Golden State Renewables, which is a developer, California-based developer that has assets in Texas, and we help them successfully find buyers for portfolios of distribution-connected battery storage assets in Texas in three different transactions. So it's like a repeat customer that came three different times. And every time we were successful in finding a different buyer. We've also worked with big names like Peregrine and Clean Capital, helping them take their portfolios to market, as well as smaller like EnerSmart and Belltown. So our hit rate actually so far has been close to 100% in terms of our ability to allow the sellers to connect with a quality buyer. And the feedback we are receiving is that it is, our approach is somewhat unique because we don't treat an energy storage project as a commodity, but rather we do all that screening and vetting and do the extra effort to try to market it. We also, for example, Ascend, as part of its market intelligence expertise, does multiple webinars on the markets that we cover and the products that we offer. And as such, when we take a portfolio to market through AEX, we also do a webinar with the potential buyers, which is unique, I think. So I think sellers and buyers have come to appreciate the unique approach that we are taking to selling those assets. I hope it stays like that.
Yeah, batting 1,000. Given that information about your deal pipeline, what should we expect from you in 2025? You know, you've mentioned a lot about what you've done and what you're currently doing, but how much of a workload do you expect to be able to take on next year or even through the end of this year?
Like I said, even though the market, like I said before, is slowing down a little bit, we're very busy right now and we expect to stay busy. We are in touch with multiple potential sellers to see if they have assets and portfolios that we think we can help them take to market, as well as with buyers. I expect the level to remain to be very busy as it is. Like I said before, we do expect to continue and diversify more markets, not just Texas and California, and also to continue and support sellers and buyers, both on large transmission connected assets as well as distribution connected assets. And if, as people expect, if interest rates are going to go down soon, which people expect, then probably we'll see more buyer interest and even bigger volume, which will be good for the entire industry as well as for AEX.
Ram, that gets to the end of my questions for you, but do you have anything else that you would add? What should I be asking you? What should our listeners know?
I think you touched upon all the important points on Ofrio. I would maybe just add another tidbit, which is we are in the process of adding another feature to our AEX platform that would make it even easier for buyers who have very specific needs. For example, if a certain buyer, and I am in touch with a few right now, has a strategy that says they're looking for very specific battery energy storage projects in this ISO, in this size range, and this range of commercial operation. And like we said before, because of the oversupply and the challenge of us finding the wheat from the, or separating the wheat from the chaff, we're adding another feature to AEX that will make it even easier for such buyers to define what is it that they're looking for. And we will help them connect with sellers that have high quality assets that match that specific interest. So that's another kind of cool feature that we will be launching very soon.
Well, I'm sure we'll all be looking out for that. I want to thank you for joining us again today, Ram.
Thank you very much, Anofi. It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It was excellent for this edition of Crossroads, the infrastructure podcast. And thank you all for listening. Please continue to do so.